Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my
home. We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle.
Hey,
so he can play football.
Coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
We
this might be the longest hangover that we have had in Pittsburgh Steelers hangover on Behind the Steel Curtain, but man, is it a good one. This is the kind of bender that I want to go on as a Pittsburgh Steeler fan. Welcome, fans, once again. My name is Brian Anthony Davis. Along with me is our very good friend, Anthony DeFeo. How are you today, my friend?
Hey, Brian, I'm really, really well. It was a great win and a great weekend to celebrate it.
You know what? So it really was. And lots of things went on yesterday in Sunday games that made it even better. But let me remind you first, this show is brought to you by Behind the Steel Curtain. Now, it's for all your Pittsburgh Steeler needs. You know, if you want to have commentary, it's there. If you just want straight news, it's there right away. You're going to know it right away. Jeff and Simon, they're on top of things just like that. If you want to have some satire, you know you're going to get it from Tony DeFeo. You're going to get it from myself. You're going to get predictions. You're going to get everything you want. There is a fine stable of writers and contributors, and it's just great stuff. So make sure your number one source for Pittsburgh Steelers news is www.behindthesteelcurtain.com. Now, Tony, here's a little factoid. This is the biggest point total since 1984, and that was a victory over the San Diego Chargers in November of that year. And here's the big thing. It was 52-24, and I'm still mad about that because the 6-6 Steeler team really turned their season around with that huge win against Ed Luther and the San Diego Chargers. But the reason I'm mad, my parents went, Tony, and they left my sorry butt at Chuck E. Cheese. And that's a true story.
Wow, well, you never got over that, huh?
Right. No, I get a stupid mouse singing the Turtles song Happy Together, and they're at the game, and I've never gotten over that. But here they had taken me a few weeks before to a game against Houston, but, you know, I couldn't believe they went to that game without me. But they also went to the Super Bowl without me, so to quote quote another Tony Soprano, what are you going to do? So with that being said, no, it was a great victory. So Steelers hangover, what are you thinking? What's your first thought and your knee-jerk reaction after this game, Tony?
Well, I think that's the best I've seen them play at least early in the season.
We're having connection problems with you, Tony. Tony, we're having connection problems.
A maestro out there. I mean, just put the end in the world. I mean, credit to you, that's fine. This is probably great. And besides the ball, he would be good.
So we're having connection problems with Tony. We're going to try to bring him back up in a second. But, you know, what I'm thinking here is that was the most complete game of the season for the Pittsburgh Steelers and for, you know, Ben Roethlisberger. And Ben Roethlisberger, you know, I got to give the offense an A. In fact, I gave the offense an A-plus in my grades. I gave the defense an A. I gave the special teams an A-plus. And I never do that. But your valedictorian had to be Ben Roethlisberger. Tony, excuse me, Tony, if you're still there, there you go.
Yes, sir.
So I don't know if you heard that. I was having some connection problems, so I had to put you on hold, but I wanted to bring you back. So that was the most complete game they have played all season. In fact, I think that's one of the most complete games I've ever seen them play. I don't remember a time when they didn't punt until the fourth quarter. And I got to tell you, there's you know, the first touchdown, you were thinking, oh, no, here we go again, because McCaffrey is running all over them, and he was my key to be able to stop. You stop that number two running game in the NFL, you're going to be okay. And here they just ran all over them. And then they just buckled down. The defense started rushing and forcing stuff and just looking really, really splendid. And so they just took over that game. And I feel like primetime Ben was out in force. And on the previous show, Jeff Hartman and I were talking, and he brought it up first, and I agreed with him that Antonio Brown has yet to have an A-B game. And even though he didn't have A-B yards, like 180 yards, he was just magnificent. But Ben had a primetime Ben game, a perfect rating, five touchdowns, one sack, no interceptions. He just looked, you know, tremendous. And that's exactly what you need from him going forward. Just a complete win. I couldn't be happier, Tony.
Not me either. It was, you're talking about AB, but I mean, they're not going to stop double and triple teaming him, obviously, you know, at least not yet. But he talking about Ben, he found nine different receivers. He had nine different receivers that night. So he's trusting his secondary receivers now, where maybe he didn't do that in the beginning of the year. You saw the frustration between him and Ben through the first month of the season. Well, now they found a formula, and that's hit the man that's open. And Ryan Switzer, Vance McDonald, even Rosen's going to attack. So it was just a tremendous, tremendous night on sides of the ball. And you know, you mentioned the first game of, or the first drive by the Panthers. Well, after that, I think like maybe 100 yards until garbage time. So, I mean, and that's what they've been doing this past month. I mean, the defense is getting off the field on third down. They're just relentlessly rushing the passer. It's just been a great past 5 weeks, and a lot different than it was last year when they were on their winning streak. Last year, we had a lot of these shows where we were saying, well, a win is a win. Well, they're not doing that now. Now they're winning convincingly, and not just last week, the first four games too.
And that's the big difference. You mentioned Rosie Nix. Let me ask you a question about him. Is he the most complete role player on this team? And let me further that. If you were going to take a top 10 in power rankings for the Pittsburgh Steelers, just as a team, you could put coaches in there, you could put anybody, wouldn't Rosie Nix be in the top 10 power rankings of importance to this team? I think yes.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, he's one heck of a blocker on running plays. He's a great fullback, and he's just a special teams demon. I mean, that play he made, the presence of mind to knock that ball loose on that return. I mean, I don't know if anybody else on the team could have done that. He's just a tremendous, tremendous asset to this team, and I just top 10, top 5, whatever. I'm just glad he's
now. If you go ahead, we talked about the valedictorian when you were on hold. Would you put the valedictorian cap on anybody else but Ben Roethlisberger, Tony?
Oh, absolutely not. No, he's the valedictorian for sure. I mean, it was probably the best game of his career. You know, a six-touchdown that he did a few years ago. Probably the most I've ever It was my favorite play of the game. I just run Ben runs. So there's something about it, not scrambling. everything about he runs just really like him. My favorite games I've ever seen him play.
Yeah, it was an absolutely amazing game from Ben. I think he has arrived. I mean, he's always been here, but I think the last few weeks he has really put it together. Those first quarter struggles are gone, and you knew they were gone when he threw that 75-yard strike to Juju on the very first play of the game. So we're talking about grades. We gave A's all around. You really have to, even Danny Smith's team, which I don't normally do. I mean, just a fantastic game from him. The honor roll, hey, look, we're not going to do honor roll tonight. And usually when we don't do honor roll, it's because they have a devastating loss. Honor roll, I can't think of anybody to keep off of it except for one person. And I hate to just keep raining on this guy, but I have to. So I have to put one guy in detention. And, Tony, you and I don't discuss this beforehand, but who am I putting in detention for this game?
The 2016 first-round pick, Artie Burns.
Yeah, and it's a shame. I mean, I hate to have to keep doing this. I root for the guy. But he comes in, and, like, the second play he's in there, that was just a blatant pass interference. And you knew it was going to happen. You saw him doing it, you're like, ah. And then he's off the field. And we're not going to see him again. So when you give up that, I mean, that was garbage time, but a more dominant win if you're winning 52-14. They did not have to give up that touchdown. Did it matter? No, but it's just the principle of it. Already looked bad on that. So he's our only person with the dunce cap on for this game. I don't even think they do dunce caps. I don't think they did dunce caps in the 80s when I was going to school, but I think that's just a Dennis the Menace myth, but it sounds funny. I mean, Tony, have you ever donned the dunce cap?
No, I was made to sit in the corner a few times, but never a dunce cap.
I have to leave that ornery Tony Defio. I'm sure there's some stories. I'm sure there was some alcohol in the teacher's lounge after teaching Tony for a few years. That's I know it was that way for teaching one young Brian Anthony Davis. Josh, I think I even killed my sixth grade teacher. I'm not for certain though. But that's a morbid story for another time. Physically, no, but mentally I probably did. But with that being said, it's going to go downhill really fast. And there's this one person, one devoted listener that could definitely get this train back on track and get us out of the gutter. And it's our good friend from Jersey. Let's hear it for Vito. What's up, my man?
Gentlemen, good evening. How are you?
Hey, Vito.
Good, good.
I never.
What do you know?
I never expected them to come out and play the way they did. I thought it was going to be a shootout, especially after the first drive where Carolina went down the field and scored a TD. I didn't expect them to score 11 seconds, and then all of a sudden the pick six, which kind of turned that game around. But I guess people need to realize that maybe this team, you know, has a different motive this year than last year. Not that last year they weren't good, but if you remember last year, a lot of games we were just barely winning. A lot of games we should have lost that we just barely won. Maybe you're finally starting to see the combination of Ben and the new offensive coordinator clicking and just coming up and dialing things up that Haley didn't dial up. And you notice the offensive line is playing great. And I think Ben's at his best when he's able to spread the ball around to all the different people on the offensive line, all the different weapons he has. I mean, you don't want to just keep forcing things to Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster. You want to involve everybody. And he's doing that a lot more now. And I think play calling has a lot to do with why you're seeing them having the success they've had over the last five games. And you know what? If it wasn't for that nasty weather in the first game, we probably would have won that one against the Browns because we had a 14-point lead when those two key mistakes occurred. But remember, that weather was horrible there. So that definitely gave, you know, the Browns an edge in being able to make those big plays. What are your thoughts on the upcoming game this week? And I think Pittsburgh should be angry and they should be ready to pounce on these guys. I really think they should, you know, they should not forget what happened both times they played them.
Tony,
should not be a letdown game either.
Tony, roll with this one first.
Well, as far as the Jaguars, I think, you know, if you remember what Pouncey said after the last for the Carolina game, they're focused. They have laser focus. And a lot of people are calling this upcoming game a revenge game, and I don't think they should go into it with that kind of mindset. I think they should just keep playing the game and keep emotions out of it as best they can. I mean, it is football. It's hard to do. But I just think they have something good going on here. I mean, they're really playing well on both sides. They're really playing their game. And if you want to take away from Jacksonville last year, is Jacksonville played their game all year, all the way through the playoffs into the AFC Championship game where they had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. And I think that's what Pittsburgh's doing this year. They've really found the niche, a formula on both sides of the ball, a rhythm. And I don't think they should go into Jacksonville like they would go into Cincinnati and just want to, you know, trash talk and put emotion. Just keep playing your game. And I think if they do that, they are going to win. I mean, who's going to remember a revenge win over the Jaguars if they lose in the first round of the playoffs again? Nobody. So just take care of business and move on to Denver. That's how I feel about this week's game.
You know, I agree, Tony, in keeping the emotions out of it, but being laser focused once again. And I really think they're doing that. Who were the two guys that did the most trash talking before that game? Mike Mitchell, he's in Indianapolis. He played the Jaguars last week. Le'Veon Bell, he's in parts unknown. And from the looks of it, he might not be showing up tomorrow, but I have some more thoughts on that a little bit later, and we'll get back to good Mr. Bell in just a few moments. But, you know, back to your point, Vito, I was surprised too. I mean, next to opening the door and finding a woman – in lingerie on your couch, that was one of the greatest surprises of my life. The way they played that game the other day against Carolina, I never expected that to happen, especially against the number two rushing defense in the league. That's how good this Carolina team is. So I was shocked the way they played. I probably shouldn't have been, because this is what we've been looking for all along. This is what we said should be with this offense. And now when you have the number four passing game in the league and you have the number four, and this is going into the game, the number four passing game and the number four overall offense, you're going to have fireworks. And the biggest thing was the fact that Antonio Brown had his meltdown early after the Chiefs game. And Ben Roethlisberger decided that, you know, I'm done forcing the ball into this guy. But he's getting touchdowns. He's still, you know, a fantasy champion. He is still just going crazy on the stat sheet just because he's one of the leaders as a receiver in touchdowns, one of the touchdown-scoring receivers in the league. So Antonio Brown's happy, and they're winning. So, I mean, if you're looking at a guy that isn't going to be happy unless he's leading the league in every category and doesn't care whether his team ends 8-8, like a guy I think Le'Veon Bell has proven himself to be, and I don't think AB is that guy. I think AB is on top of the world because they're winning, and they look like a Super Bowl contender once again. We look at yesterday's game. New England did not look like a contender. Kansas City, you know, they played a bad Cardinals team and didn't beat them up. And next week on Monday Night Football, they are playing the Los Angeles Rams. So that could be another loss. Pittsburgh right now is the second ranked team in the league in the AFC, and you know, they're only a game and a half back of the Chiefs. And that Chiefs tiebreaker is gone because of the tie that Pittsburgh and Cleveland did. So maybe that tie is a little bit of a blessing. I don't know. But if they didn't have that tie and had a win, they would still be one game behind this team. And if they ended up being tied, they'd be two games behind this team, actually. So with that being said, that's just because of the tiebreaker against Kansas City. So I know that's a big mouthful. But what I'm saying is this team is looking up, and Kansas City has some tough dates down the road. Now, the Steelers do too. The Steelers still have to go ahead and face a team in the Los Angeles Chargers on December 2nd. They have to face the Patriots on December 16th and December 23rd against the all-world New Orleans Saints, who I think is a favorite for the Super Bowl at this point. I'm just hoping they have that division so wrapped up by week 16 that they decide to sit everybody and their brother, and Pittsburgh could have an easier time. And I know that's a cop-out to say you want to beat a team at its best, but I have a feeling that's a team you can beat in the Super Bowl too. So, I mean, you would face in the Super Bowl and would be tough to beat. So the bottom line is getting that number one seed, and that can help them get the number one seed. But with that being said, Vito, I was surprised, but as soon as they scored that 75-yard touchdown and then they got the lead on that defensive play, I sat back a little bit. I'm like, you know, it's in the bag, and you're not supposed to celebrate until there's zeros in the clock. But I felt like this game was over when it was 14-7, Vito.
Amazing, right?
Yep.
Amazing. Well, maybe they need to have the focus, like you said, one game at a time. Focus on the opponent you're playing and don't look ahead to week 13 or 14 or 15 or 16. Focus on the opponent you're facing today. Give it your 100%. Give it your all, and everybody's got to do their job. And I think, you know, the only way they lose is if they beat themselves.
Exactly. And this does not seem like a team, Tony, that is going to beat themselves at this point. I think they're a band of brothers, and Ben Roethlisberger used that 10 years ago in the 2008 season. And they're a band of brothers, once again, united against a force that's not even there and made them more of a team. And they're so united around a guy like James Conner. So the question I have going forward, Vito, I'll ask you this question. Tony, I'll ask you the same. Now, can they win going forward without Le'Veon Bell? And here's the caveat, though. I mean, we saw James Conner vulnerable with that concussion and going out. And I'm not saying that the concussion is going to plague him. He should be playing this weekend. But there could be life with Stephen Ridley right around the corner. And does Le'Veon Bell not showing up hurt their Super Bowl chances because of that big balloon in the corner that he might not be showing up at all and James could get hurt? Vito, I'll ask you first.
Well, listen, he definitely makes us better, right? I mean, he definitely adds another wrinkle to our team if we have him. I mean, because we could use him differently, but I don't think so. You know, as much as, you know, we probably miss not having him because he's been able to, you know, win us a lot of games, having him in there. I think this team has changed and they've worked around not having him, and they're doing a lot of different things without him in there, and they're just using other people. You know, they're getting the tight ends involved a lot more, which is a big deal. I mean, you know, remember, there's been a lot of games last year we didn't have Vance McDonald because he was injured. So having Le'Veon Bell helped a lot. But now that you got Vance McDonald and you have Jesse James and you have Connor and you have Juju Smith-Schuster stepping up, you know, Brown doing his thing. You know, Washington is also, you know, can be an up-and-coming guy. He may get a couple of passes each game. You never know. So I think if Bell shows up, does he add another wrinkle to the offense and makes us that much more potent? He definitely does. If he doesn't show up, we got to deal with it. We've been dealing with it all season long. I think, you know, we're still a contender no matter what because we have enough weapons on this team. And that doesn't mean that the team can't go out and find somebody in the coming weeks because they have plenty of cap space. So if tomorrow Bell doesn't show up, the team knows right then and there that $14.5 million in cap space is on the table. Now they may even want to go out and find somebody if there is anybody to add for depth. You never know. So can't count them out just because
very good.
Player. Yes, he's a great player.
Yeah, very good point. Thank you, Vito. We will talk to you next week after the game, and we appreciate all your insight, my friend.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a good evening.
All right.
Take care, Vito.
Good evening. One of the best. Vito from New Jersey, love when he calls in, and he's like clockwork, and you got to really appreciate that. Can I ask you the same question, Tony? Are they setting themselves up, or is, I'm not going to say setting themselves up, but could this be a little bit of a mirage that they are so much better without Le'Veon Bell because of the threat of injury to James Conner? Because that's a very real thing.
I mean, I've been going back and forth with this in my mind for weeks now. Do I want him to show up or do I want him to show up? And obviously, if he shows up and he's mature and team player and he's world great actor, I think he can't take James Conner out.
And we're having trouble with Tony's microphone once again. We're just going to put him on hold for a moment and hope that subsides. But, you know, as far as everything is going, I worry about a James Conner injury. And my question is, and this is a very interesting question here. I'll bring this up. When has Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter, when have these guys been right this entire year when it's come to Le'Veon Bell? They haven't. So is Le'Veon Bell just pulling the strings of these and telling these guys or having it leaked that he's going to be coming back and not, and now that he's not coming back because he's in Pittsburgh? So it makes me wonder if he's just messing with these guys once again, and I absolutely believe he is. So tomorrow might be very interesting. He could very well show up tomorrow and sign a franchise tender. He'd have to do it very early because he has to get a physical. They've got a lot of work to do. So while I believe it's unlikely, I'm not completely convinced that it's not going to happen just for the fact that he has been a fountain of misinformation the entire year. So who knows with that? Tony, I'm going to see if we have your mic problems fixed there. What do you think about that? Do you think Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter really know what's going on right now?
No, because everybody's been wrong all the way since before week one. I mean, going back to the spring, he said he would be here in week one, and he obviously told his teammates he would be here for week one, and he wasn't. And he got here in time.
We're losing Tony's mic again. So with that being said, we'll actually see if we can get him to call back in. And we'll go ahead and do that. But, you know, I think it's a really, you know, fair thing to say that he's feeding these guys a big, fat lie each and every time, and they fall for it. And, you know, one of my concerns is are the media making this whole thing worse? And is he, gullible enough to think that this is a real possibility that everything that they say that the Steelers might do is true? And I'm actually thinking that Le'Veon Bell is gullible. I think the media at this point is gullible with this whole situation, and we're believing everybody. We're gullible too. We're believing everything that the media is saying, Tony.
Yeah, and we have no choice because they're the supposed insiders, you know, guy, you know, like Ian Rappaport, he's Adam Schefter. They're supposed to be on top of all this stuff, and we're supposed to believe what they tell us. And so far, everybody's been 100% wrong. So it would not shock me at all if he signs tomorrow because everything else up to this point has been wrong. So why wouldn't the fact that he's not supposed to sign tomorrow also be wrong?
And I agree with that 100%, Tony. So we will see tomorrow. The deadline is 4 o'clock. He's got to report earlier, though, with all of these things that have to be done before that deadline. You know, Cinderella time is coming up, and that clock strikes midnight, at 4 o'clock, and we'll just see what happens. I still think it's a long shot, but I still feel as well. So, you know, with that being said, the other question I have is, does this guy and his agent, Adisa Bakari, do they know what they're doing? And, you know, I saw an article today suggesting that nobody's giving this guy a break because he's making a sound business decision. But you know what? You come in right now, you are not going to play a lot. You're going to be used sparingly, and you can get that money back. If he does not report, he would have to make $42 million over the next two seasons to recoup the money that he has lost. And that is a significant amount of money, Tony. And I don't think that he is going to get that money, because I've hired people before. I've made personnel decisions. And I check references. I know you don't check references in the NFL, but you could watch what's going on. And you see it. And a part of me saying, am I going to invest all this money in a guy that I just watched screw over a model franchise? I'm not going to do it. I know a team like Cleveland would. I know maybe Indianapolis would. But, of course, the Raiders and the Cowboys would in a New York minute. But how much are they going to give him? And I don't think it's going to be the astronomical number that he wants based on this performance this year off the field. I'm talking about the strippers. I'm talking about the jet skis. I'm talking about the fountain of misinformation, Tony.
Absolutely. And the Steelers themselves, what they've been able to do without Le'Veon Bell. I mean, there's no question he's a great player. We can't take that away from him. But the fact that they've been able to produce so well, and James Conner's been able to play so well and perform so well and fill the void, it doesn't speak well for Le'Veon Bell's going to next year. And plus, I think, you know, his whole career, the hallmarks of his career is he was a workhorse. He wanted the ball. He wanted to be in there all downs. Now all of a sudden, he's worried about too many touches. He's worried about the Steelers using him too much. If I'm a franchise that's thinking about signing him next year, I'm going to be thinking, well, has he lost a step? He's lost two steps, and he's just afraid to say it, because we all know how, you know, what he had, like two or three carries over 20 yards last year. So lost a step. Has he lost his, you know, what made him so special between 2014 and 2016? So yeah, I think, you know, he, to get the $14 million back, some team's going to have to really have faith in him. And I'm not sure if any team at this point is going to do that, because you see all these backs coming up, you know, late in the draft. They're coming out of nowhere. And again, you don't have to spend that kind of money on a running back. I think James Conner is proving that yet again. So I don't think he's going to get the money he wants next year.
I don't think he is either. And at this point, we are 15 hours and 46 minutes away from this saga being complete. And I'm just happy that the deadline is coming. You know, I'm going to be perfectly transparent with everybody. I still hope he shows up. And the reason I hope he shows up is one of the things Vito said. He does make this team better. And we talked about this, you know, at great length last week, that it's Mike Tomlin that is the key to this whole thing and keeping this team together. And I really think that he is going to go ahead and make the right decisions as far as Le'Veon Bell goes and as far as James Conner goes. Look, this guy comes in, he doesn't have to be the workhorse. That's fact. James Conner's here. It doesn't have to be that workhorse. Another fact, you could split carries. I mean, even if it's 70-30, everybody's happy, because Bell would be happy because he's not, you know, getting worked to death. But he still will be able to make an impact. And there will be some situations where he is there on the field at the same time. And that's going to present so many matchup issues. That's why I want him to come in. Tony, what's your heart saying? I mean, what do you want? Not what your brain saying. What does Tony DeFeo want when it comes to Le'Veon Bell?
Well, and I want him to show up because he is a special talent, and I want him to show up with the understanding that he's not going to be the guy anymore. And if he can do that and be a nice change of pace, so to speak, a guy that gives Connor a breather, then that's fine. I definitely want him to show up because, as I was saying before, look at what's happened to them in recent playoff pasts. Right before the playoffs, their starting running backs go down. They have nothing to replace them with. You know, for Tucson, guys like that. So Ben Tate. So, I mean, obviously I want him to show up, but it's going to have to be, as you said, he has to understand 70-30, 80-20 kind of deal. And it would be the ultimate diva move for him to come in now and just expect to be the workhorse. It wouldn't fly. So that's the only thing I would be concerned about is how he would react, his behavior on social media. Although I think
and once again, we're having problems with Tony.
It could throw a monkey wrench into their offense.
So once again, we're having problems with Tony's mic, so that's something that we're going to have to, you know, go ahead and get fixed. The next question is, what's your gut saying? And my gut is saying that he doesn't show up, but I am not looking at it as 90-10 that he's not showing up. I think there's a 40% chance that he shows up tomorrow, but I still don't believe it's going to happen. But I still think it's possible. Tony, what's your gut saying?
I'd say at this point, it's probably about a 15 to 20% chance that he does show up.
Yeah, I don't think he's showing up. I know you think the chances are less. I don't think he's showing up, but I think that there's more of a possibility because of how much the media, I'm talking Schefter, I'm talking Rappaport, and these guys have completely botched this whole thing. You know, they said they had firsthand information at one point, and they very well could have, and that shows you so much of the character of a person who, if they are giving these guys misinformation. So, I mean, I think this entire holdout has been botched by a Bell side. And the winners so far are the Pittsburgh Steelers, just for the fact that they're playing more cohesively and playing more as a team. So, speaking of playing as a team and cohesively, I don't feel like they played as a team against Jacksonville in that playoff game in Pittsburgh last year, they ended 45-42. Doesn't matter that they're in Jacksonville this time. I was actually at a game in Jacksonville where the Pittsburgh Steelers played poorly but won the game. That's not the easiest place to play. It's a great stadium. It's a great environment. But I just don't think the Jacksonville Jaguars are right anymore. I think that this team is the defense is completely struggling. Now, a lot of their struggles have been due to the fact that Leonard Fournette has played sparingly this year because of injury. I mean, he came over. He didn't put up a lot of yards, but he had two touchdowns. He had some receptions yesterday. So, I mean, he definitely made an impact in the fantasy football world. But he actually, those two touchdowns, that's a big deal. But if they could just handle him a little bit better than they did in those two games, those two meetings last year, they have a very good chance of winning this game once again. I don't think the defense is the same. I just don't think they're the juggernaut that they were. Makes me think that this is a one-and-done team, that they were just an aberration last year. Tony, is this Jacksonville team, were they just a flash in the pan last year?
I think they were a team that managed to buy. They all bought in at the same time, and they were, like I said before, they were all playing. They were playing their game on both sides of the ball, and they found a formula for success. Whereas, like you said, they don't have that this year, and I think that's because they don't have a great quarterback, so they can't sustain it. But the one caveat, as you said, is Leonard Fournette. He's back, and he tortured them last year in two games. So it's gonna be stopping him and Ben not turning the ball over like he did last year. But it's a different Ben now than it was last year. It's a different everything with this team. They're not winning like they were last year. They're winning more convincingly. And I look for them to go to Jacksonville and take care of business and treat it just like another game. 7-2-1.
Okay, 7-2-1. That's a great number, and I love to hear that number. Let's put a score to that. Let's put you out there.
I'm all in on this offense right now. I just think it's Randy Fichtner and Ben Roethlisberger. They're playing it like a violin, and I think I'm going to go 31-13 Steelers.
Wow, that's a bold statement. If I could quote John Travolta in Pulp Fiction, that's a bold statement. And that would be amazing. I think this team has proven that they can score 42 points on Jacksonville. And it makes me wonder if Berg was the team to unravel this defense last year, even though the Pittsburgh defense was completely unraveled. A lot of it had to do to the Ryan Shazier injury. They have really put it together. They figured out how to play. I've got to give them the victory to go 6 in a row in this game. I am looking at a score of, I think they can eclipse 30 once again, but I'm going to say no. I'm just going to say 27-26. In favor of the Pittsburgh
wow.
Steelers. I think it's going to be a close one. But then again, I haven't been right on a score all year. I even picked the Browns to beat Kansas City, so what do I know? But with that being said, very looking forward to this game, Tony. And what is you predicted the score, but who is going to be the guy next week that we are talking about as the valedictorian in this game for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Tony?
I think, Don, what he did last week, we didn't really talk about him that much.
Okay, I think I made that out because you're having some trouble with your microphone. I don't know what's going on with the connection, but it looked like you said, T.J. Watt and Ben Roethlisberger having the games. I think it's Ben Roethlisberger. I think he wants redemption from the pick sixes against them, and I know they can't be going in trying to force the ball to get revenge. But, I think there's a level of pride with these guys. They want to get a redemption. I think it's Ben Roethlisberger's game once again. I think he is the offensive player. He hasn't been named offensive player of the week yet. There is a possibility that he can get that honor. I would love to see him get it. But I really think that he could go ahead and avenge that loss by himself. I think this is Antonio Brown's game. I don't care that he's playing Jalen Ramsey. I don't think that the secondary is what it was last year. I'm looking at Antonio Brown going off. I think it's going to be just one of those games once again where they keep that winning streak alive and just keep that fall record in October and now November. Let's see if they can go undefeated for November as well, and that would be huge. One thing that I look at for the Pittsburgh Steelers, I always break them down by quarter. The first quarter of the season, they were 1-2-1. Second quarter of the season, 4-0. They're currently 1-0 in this quarter. If you could go ahead and go 3-1 in every quarter or average that, then you're going to have a 12-4 season, and that's good enough to win the Super Bowl every year. I mean, that's a really good record in the National Football League. So if you can get to that 750 mark, that's fantastic. They're not going to get to that 750 mark because of the way things are going with that tie weirding things up. There might be, I'm predicting at least one more loss this year. But I really think this team is going to go deep into the playoffs and actually go for a Super Bowl. But like Tony said, like we've all said, like Vito even reiterated, it's got to be 1 week at a time. And I think this Jacksonville game is going to be a game that we're talking about favorably next week once again. So, Tony, thank you for everything. We will talk to you again next week, my friend.
Okay, Brian, I can't wait to get back together with you again next Monday.
All righty. For Tony Duffio and BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, I am Brian Anthony Davis, and my friends, the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Carolina Panthers 52-21, and you have just been hungover. Good night.